Let's pray again before we open the Bible. Heavenly Father, again we ask you for your company, for your blessings, for your guidance. Lord, before we open a scripture this morning, we want to ask you for direction. Give us your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a question for you. Have you ever been confronted with a situation that you don't know what to do? That happened recently. I was having a conversation the other day with a young person, and in reference to prayer. And this person was saying, well, I don't feel the necessity to pray, because I don't feel that God answered my prayers. And I was trying to explain to this person, well, God always answers. And one of the answers that God gives you when you pray is peace. You know, in occasions we are so stressed out for the circumstances, the conditions, or the problems that you are confronting, that you don't know what to do. So this is one of the things that you receive right there when you start talking to God. That is having some peace, some clarity of mind before you making any decision that you are planning to make. The other thing that I enjoy into praying is that I know God, and I know that God is good. Amen. And I don't need anyone to prove that to me, because I have experienced that with God. How you experience that in your God? Yes, yes, yes. So is God good? Yes, yes. Is God merciful? Yes, yes. Is God compassionate? Yes, yes. When you are certain of these facts in your life, that gives you the confidence to talk to God in a friendly way. You know, you can get and talk to God about anything. Yes, yes. And express your feeling, your anguish, your anger, your irritation, your happiness, your joy, your sadness, whatever emotion that you are passing through. And God will be there for you, listening and be willing to help you and hearing about your circumstances. Today, I want you to open your Bibles in the book of Nehemiah. It's an old book in the Old Testament. We don't read a lot about Nehemiah, right? But today, I want to read something about Nehemiah because I think we have some valuable lessons that we can get from Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2. Let's go and open our Bibles in Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verse 1, okay? And this is what my Bible is saying here in Nehemiah. Are you ready, family? Everybody? Okay, let's do it. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakiah, it came to pass in the month of Chisli, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came to me when the men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who have survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they say to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and his gates are burned with fire. So Nehemiah had a conversation with his personal good friend and brother. Actually, he was a family member. You find that in Nehemiah chapter 7. And he's asking about the people who was left in Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah is living 140 years later after the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar in year 587. You remember that, right? When the Babylonians came and destroyed the city and burned the gates and burned the temple and burned pretty much everything. So the city is completely destroyed. The majority of the people at the time suffered a lot of distress, and a lot of them, they were killed. The old ones, many of the old ones, they were killed. The younger people, they were brought to Babylon as slaves. They were sold as slaves. And among them, you remember, is Daniel and his friends. Right? And many, many other people. So what is left in Jerusalem is the people that they didn't want as a slave. People who was sick, or it was too old to walk across the desert, or people for some reason they didn't want. So the weak, the sick, the lame is the one that they left in Jerusalem. That's what Nebuchadnezzar left. A lot of them died too, through the crossing of the desert. Now, the prophecy say that 70 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, God will bring his people from Babylon free again to Jerusalem. And I mentioned, this is happening how many years after the destruction of Jerusalem? 140 years later. The Babylon Empire doesn't exist anymore. They are under another empire. They are now under the Median and Persian Empire. And this man is working there in the court for the king. And in this conversation, he discovered that the people who was left at the time and the ones who returned from Babylon, they were under a lot of distress for a simple reason, right? What was the reason? The city didn't have any protection. The walls that were surrounding the city and protecting them from their enemies were destroyed. And the gates were open completely because they were burned. They didn't have gates. When was the last time that you sleep in your house and you leave the front door open? Had that ever happened to you? Ooh, happened too many times. I don't tell you where I live in case somebody's listening to this recording. But it happened that in occasions I open the front door and I leave the keys in there and I go close the door and put the locks and I'm thinking I'm really safe here. Nothing, you know, can happen. And the next day I go out and I find my keys hanging in there in the front door. The other day we had family visiting us from New York and they leave the front door without any locks at night time. You know, and I'm the kind of person that as soon as I enter my house, the first thing I do is what? Lock the doors. Never open windows. Never. You can ask my wife. I don't like to have any open doors or any open windows. And it's because I came, my background, the place where I came, is always distrusting people. Right? And I get surprised when I get here to the U.S. and I see the people leave the windows open, the doors open. Like, wow, you know, everybody here is honest. They are not afraid of thieves in this country, right? You know, like, who will think that somebody will break into your house? You know, can that happen to you? Well, we know that can happen, right? And if somebody break into your house, what you will do? Well, call 911, right? Right? Start praying. And one of the advice that people tell you when somebody is breaking into your house is avoid conflict, right? No TV, I don't care how big is your TV, or no cellular phone, or no surround system is worth your life. So if somebody breaking into your house and is stealing, let them take whatever they want you, right? As long as they leave you alive. So don't avoid confrontation. Stay away from that. Call the authorities and wait for rescue. Now, picture a city, the whole city, that at the time, they were depending greatly in the walls of, for surrounding, for protection. Every single night was a very bad experience. But they don't know when their enemies will attack them again. They were really afraid that somebody can break in and kill them. Meanwhile, they were sleeping. They didn't have armies anymore. The nation was completely destroyed. They don't even have a church. The temple was completely destroyed and burned. Now, for the Jewish believer, the temple was a very important part of the spiritual life. What was the only place where they can offer an offering or sacrifice? What was the only place that they can do that? At the sanctuary. And that's the reason that why they don't do it today, because they don't have a temple anymore. They believe that it's the only place in the whole planet where you can do an offering or sacrifice is right there in that mountain. So they didn't have a temple. They didn't have issues about their relationship with God. And they were really, really afraid. And this man hears this news and he feels really sad and depressed. And he is struggling for the survival of his nation. Now, have you ever been concerned with something that you realize is bigger than you? That you start thinking, how I can fix this problem? Have you ever think about that? Let me tell you a story, and you probably will relate to this story. I know a church that they want to build another church, a bigger church. And when they are doing that process, they discover that it's many hindrances, many obstacles, many problems that you find in the construction project. Can you relate to that? I'm pretty sure you can, right? And speaking of Aiken. And you are in the process of discovering and you think, okay, we can accomplish this. And then you find out, oh, maybe not, because you need more resources and you need X amount of money and you need X amount of energy and things to accomplish this building that you want to do. Now, Nehemiah is in the same circumstances. He is far away in another country. He doesn't have tons and tons of resources. The only thing that he has is a big desire to help his people, right? So what a person in distress can do? Well, pray. That's right. So let's go and read the book of Nehemiah, present at least 9 prayers. And this is one of the first prayers that he made to God in reference to this problem. And this prayer begins in chapter 1, verse 5. And I say, I pray, Lord God of heaven, of great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. So Nehemiah started acknowledging God for his mercy and for his love. Continue reading with me. Please let our ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Now, what is this man doing right now in behalf of the nation? This is called an intercessory prayer, right? He's praying to God not only for himself, but he's praying in behalf of what? The whole nation, right? Can you do that? Yes, you can. Asking God to forgive the sins of the whole nation, right? Not only your personal sins, but the sins of the whole nation. And asking God to listen to his prayer. And the Bible is telling you that this man is praying day and what? Night, right? We Christians, we are advised that we should pray without ceasing, right? Now, when you are praying, things start happening. The first thing that I mentioned happens is in you, right? This peace that can bring is from God, that can give you tranquility, that you can have serenity, where you can understand and trying to reason and do the best decisions that you can. That's a very important thing to do. The other thing that you realize when you are praying is that God works in different ways. And the things that you don't expect, it comes to happen, right? Now, jump really quick with me to chapter 2. What was this man's job? Let's go read it here in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and I gave it to the king. So what was the job for this person? Non-alcoholic wine, right? No, this is the real stuff. You know, the wine with alcohol. And what was this man's job? Very good. He was the one that drank from that wine before the king, because if the wine was poisoned, he will die and the king will survive. So how do you feel about that job? It comes with good benefits. It's an excellent insurance, right? They will give you a nice and decent burial. And this is a job that it was quite stressful. I don't know about you, but if it wasn't me, you know, drinking every day, thinking that you can die right there from poisoning, that's not like a very pleasant idea, you know. How many of you go to work every day thinking that you will die there? Any of you? No, nobody's thinking like that, right? You are going to work expecting to come back to your family and to your house at the end of the day. So this guy is working in the core, and his job is precisely that. He's a tester. He is a guy who can drink wine in front of the king because he is an expendable person. He is a nobody. That's the truth. Not only he's a nobody, but the king have a lot of trust in him. And the king had grown accustomed to this person, seeing his face many, many, many years working for him. And God has been good with Nehemiah because, you know, he's protecting him and nothing bad happened. But pay attention to what happened here that is mentioned in chapter 2. So he's bringing the wine to the king. Now, I have never been sad in his presence before. That's Nehemiah explaining, right? Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? Think about this. If you are the king and the person that you trust to bring you the wine that is no poison looks sad, what do you will think? Something is wrong, right? And you need to pay attention to that guy because maybe he knows something that I don't know. Now, what it caught my attention from that portion of the Bible that you and I just read a few minutes ago is that Nehemiah was a very positive and kind of like happy person. You know, despite that he was doing a very difficult job and dangerous thing every day, he was positive. He had like a nice attitude in front of the king. He was smiling. You know, and that's important to do. And I have a problem with that. I have to confess to you. You know, this morning when I was coming to church, they need to say, oh, you need to change your face. You know, I wish I can do that. You know, get my face and put something more beautiful there. But what she was trying to say is, you need to look more happy. But on occasions, you get sad for things that happen in your life, like, right? You know, news that you don't expect, things that made you sad. So it's difficult to have a nice countenance when you're inside, you are suffering or you are struggling for something. And this is the case. The Bible has mentioned that this man has been praying for at least 4 months. And he was praying day and what? And night. Trying to find an answer from God in how to help his nation, his people. Remember, he doesn't have the power, neither political nor economical, to fix the problem. Because this problem requires a lot of money to be get fixed, right? The only thing that he can do is pray. Talk to God and ask God for a solution. He's willing to be used by God in any way possible. And that's an important thing that we need to remember. That when you want to be part of the solution, you are willing to be used by God in any way possible, right? Amen? You know, some people will tell you, well, Pastor, I will do more for the church, but it's my age. I cannot do more. Are you sure about that? I remember having a conversation with a lady many, many years ago. I promise you, it's not from here, you know, so don't start thinking about that. And this lady was really concerned because she was mentioning to me, Pastor, I feel that I'm doing anything good for the church. And so I started asking her what she enjoyed doing at church. And she said, well, long time ago, I used to be a teacher, but now because my health and my time, I don't have time to be a teacher anymore. And every single suggestion that I made to her, she gave me a good reason why she cannot do that. So finally, I say to her, well, sister, you can do one more thing for the church. And she said, what? And well, you can pray, right? You don't need to come to the church. You can pray in your house for the church ministries. You can pray for the leaders. You can pray for God to bring in people. Can't you guys do that? Amen. How do you feel about that? Can you pray? Amen. We can pray. And the God who owns everything can help us. Amen? Amen? So that's what this person has been doing for 4 months. Praying and praying, but finally he's kind of like broken down because he feels that no answer is inside of his problem. He gets in front of the king that day, and he looks sad because the problem is overwhelming him. And the king noticed, and the king immediately asking him, why you are sad? This is not like your normal you. Something is bothering you. What is going on? What is the problem that is affecting you? And continue reading, because here is how God answered this prayer. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadful afraid. Why he was afraid? Oh, he was thinking maybe the king can kill me, right? The king can think that I'm betraying him, that he can get offended. So he get really, really concerned. And he said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my faith not be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, tombs lies waste, his gates are burned with fire. So he finally tell the king the problem. He explained the king, the reason that I'm sad is because my nation is pretty much destroyed. And everybody hates us. And we don't have the resources to fix the temple, the church. We don't have the resources to fix the city. This is something that is, humanly speaking, impossible for us. Right? But now, keep in mind that he's talking to whom? To the king. Do kings have power? They do. You know, so it's good to have connections with the king. Keep that in mind, right? So when you are talking to the king, remember that he can bring resources that are for your disposal, for your help. Now, the king, when he was really afraid, the king answered to me in verse number 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? Interesting, right? What do you need? If you have right now a big problem and somebody say, what do you need? I can't help you. What you will do? Well, tell the person right away, I need X amount of money, or I need this help in this problem. Please help me. And that's what he started doing. And look, he's praying. So I pray to God of heaven right there in the middle of the conversation. Not only he's talking to the king, but he's praying to God. Why? He needs wisdom, right? And that whatever he requests is something that the king will be able and willing to help. And then it's amazing how God answers prayers. Pay attention to this part. So I pray to the God of heavens, and I say to the king, this is a very short prayer, and right away he starts talking to the king. And I say to the king, what if it pleases the king, and your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you that you send me to Judah and the city of my fathers, so I can reveal it. Now, was Nehemiah request something easy for the king to do? Remember, this is the person who is there to help you survive. You trust this guy. And now this person is saying, can I leave the court and go there? So it's more than a person. Now you start thinking, who will replace you? And who can I trust that they won't poison me? What amazed me of this story, and you will discover this in the book of Nehemiah, is that God started answering that prayer in a very interesting way. And this is what I discovered when you are praying to God. When we pray to God with a problem, and God starts giving us solutions, the solutions maybe don't fix the problem completely. Because the king, if you continue reading the story, you will find that the king gave Nehemiah letters, and he gave him resources that when he came back to Jerusalem, he will be able to fix everything in the city. But something happened. The people in Jerusalem find out that somebody is coming from the capital and is trying to rebuild the city. The enemies of the Jewish nation. And at the beginning, they start mocking this guy. You know, this is a joke. It will never happen. But when they realize that it's happening, then their mockery is transformed in hate. And they go beyond hate. They want to stop this guy at any cost. And you will find in the book, if you want to read this book, it's a short book at home, you will find that in several occasions, they even try to kill him to stop the whole process. So this is a good lesson for me, and it's a good lesson for you. What is the lesson here? God is answering the prayer, but that doesn't stop the enemy from attacking you, right? The problems will continue coming to your life, but remember, God is in your side. Amen? Amen. Come on, church, wake up. God is in your side. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so you are dealing with a big problem, and you know the difficulties will come into you, and you need to do something. What else we can do other than prayer? Well, once God starts answering your prayers, then you need to start taking action. And in many occasions, we don't do that, right? We lie there, we start thinking, no, this is too big, this is impossible, I don't want to do it, and we don't move. And unless we start taking these small steps of faith, one by one, then God, we will be able to see how God works in our lives, in the life of other people. One of the stories that always impressed me from the Bible is found in the book of Judges. When Israel was entering the new land, you remember the story, right? One of the things that they need to cross was the Jordan River. But they are, at that time, you remember, the river was swollen because they have a lot of rain, and they were afraid if they were trying to cross the river, they will die. And what God is telling them is, you know, start walking. And it doesn't make sense. Why you want to walk in a swollen river? And they start walking, and when they start walking, the waters of the river finally are what? Are stopped, because God entered in actions. So God is expecting us to take steps of faith. And the moment that you take a step of faith, then God continues working and open more doors for you, and is removing the obstacles, and the things eventually start happening to you. It's not easy, but that's how he decided to work. So what is the lesson for you today here? And for me, this is the lesson that I get from this story. Doesn't matter what is the problem that you are confronting. Because number one, when you are a friend with the king, he will fix the problem for you. Amen? So who is your king? Jesus Christ, right? Do Jesus have power? Can you witness about that? Have you experienced the power of Jesus in the past in your life? Do you remember how he was working in your life? How he had helped you in other circumstances? He's always there. So you know that you can rely on Jesus, that he will answer your prayers in the moment that you need the most. Now, if you are in the middle of the problem, in the middle of the battle, confronting attacks from the enemy and the heat of the battle, then a lot of things happening in your life. That's when we need to get close to Jesus and start talking to him and telling him how we feel and telling him your problem. Be more specific. This is what I need. And the Lord will start delivering, right? Amen. Opening doors. So I want you to pray with me because we have a big challenge in our church here in Aiken. Our challenge is resources. We are not the most rich church in town. Are you aware of that? I am. We are not the more powerful church in members either. Our membership is not that big. But what we have is an amazing God. And although this task, this building, this project, this construction, or whatever the circumstances that we confront, that it looked almost impossible to us to accomplish, then we need to remember that God specializes in doing impossible things for us. Amen? Amen. So please, pray for this with me. Will you? That he will open the doors, that he will give us wisdom, and that he will point us in the right direction. I'm afraid that in occasions, because my excitement, I just want to make decisions that maybe God is not supporting. Right? That happened to you? That you know, before God answered, you start walking like, we need to wait, right? Let's pray, let's talk to God, and wait for God to start revealing and answer our prayers, and then start moving in the right direction. That's an important thing to do. At least for me, it's essential, right? That we are doing this thing, and this is the best for this church, this is the best for this community, and this is the best because that's what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen? The second thing that I want you to remember during this small sermon today is that if you are confronting a problem in your life, a big problem that maybe nobody knows, God knows about your problem. Please don't give up in your prayer. Right? Continue being faithful praying to God. Some prayers take years to be answered. Some prayers, maybe we won't be able to see the answer. That doesn't mean that God won't answer. You know, when faith and when encouragement, let's help each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's lift up our church together and let's pray for our ministries here. Amen? Amen. So may God continue blessing you in your spiritual journey. If you are feeling tired, if you are feeling that you cannot give one more step, right, that you are thinking, right now is the time to sit down and die here, right? Don't do that. God is still there, and he will help us. Amen? Yeah.